Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Access to education, knowledge and information is important to living a fulfilling life, but we don't all have equitable access. And in fact, according to the last OECD program for the International Assessment of Adult Competencies, at least 44% of adult Australians between the ages of 15 and 74 have very low literacy skills that make everyday tasks difficult, while 54% have even lower numeracy skills. And we know that with our world increasingly going digital and online, this is going to make it even harder. We're fortunate today to be joined by Jenny McCaffer from Adult Learning Australia, the CEO. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you, Kerry.
So, Jenny, those literacy figures seem very high, around that 50%. And even though you're saying that the data is around a decade old, it looks like it'll still be validated. That's quite outstanding to think that nearly 50% of our population has such low literacy levels.
Yes, that's right. And if you combine that with a whole range of other issues where people might have other challenges, they've got to consider, you know, where they're living, whether they've got access to things like the internet, whether they're close to locations where there's infrastructure and support services that might help them with reading and writing, like being located closely to community centres or libraries, those sorts of things. So as a kind of overlay, there can be a range of barriers to people really reaching their full potential in life if they don't have access to reading, writing, numeracy, you know, digital infrastructure as well.
And Jenny, as the CEO of Adult Learning Australia, what place does Adult Learning Australia play in trying to improve these literacy levels for our population?
So Adult Learning Australia, our mission is really to ensure lifelong learning for all, but we particularly focus on adults 15 years plus. And we play a big role in terms of advocacy. So that might mean that we work with some of our state and other national partners to lobby and advocate to the government to improve opportunities for people in terms of adult literacy and numeracy. So that includes resources, that includes professional development for teachers and educators in the field, that includes supporting adult and community education providers that might be in our local communities. And we do, you know, media releases. I sit on a number of advisory committees to federal government, and sometimes it might mean running a campaign, which we've done, and we might join in with other peak bodies as well to run a specific campaign to get that on the agenda, especially pre-budget time, trying to get Treasury and the department to look at, you know, how they might spend taxpayers' money, and to make sure it's going to sections of the community that need it most.
And Jenny, we're not just talking about traditional education or going to courses. This is really about basic foundation skills. Now, adult education has been around for a long time. Can you just give us a history of where adult education has had its place in our society?
That's really interesting. We've got a little bit of history on adult and community education on the Adult Learning Australia website when we celebrated our 60 years. We've been going for nearly 65 years now. And so we've got a little bit of history on there. But in terms of things like mechanic institutes and some of the night schools that used to be around, particularly post-war period, when people were, you know, getting trained up or learning reading and writing so they could improve themselves, then what we saw was in the 60s and 70s, we saw a lot of community centres and neighbourhood houses being developed in local communities, which was really part of the feminist movement. So you had mechanic institutes and some of those older institutions that were predominantly for men. And then you had the rise of feminism and neighbourhood houses and community centres. So it became a combination of both, where people could come into local communities, both male and female, and have opportunities to improve their lives, including improve opportunities for work, but also for social connection, have opportunities to meet other people. And we know that learning has a lot of health benefits in terms of physical benefits, in connecting spheres of the brain, and also in terms of mental health and well-being outcomes.
And Jenny, for a lot of people, they didn't succeed well at school, which is, or they may be new to Australia itself, and English being their second language makes it more difficult to get the knowledge and information they need. But as an adult, for a lot of people, as a child, they didn't want to be in classrooms, and that traditional way of teaching didn't work for them. I know that community centres have been very successful in delivering education in very different ways. For example, learning numbers, learning to read, you can do that through a cooking class or gardening.
Yeah, that's correct. And there's some really good examples, Kerry. Look, those institutional settings don't suit everyone. And we know some people just don't work well in big school settings and some people, you know, drop out of school early. And so what we find is that sometimes people come round to other opportunities of learning if they're in small personalised settings. And sometimes learning isn't seen as the main priority. As you said, it might be around cooking or gardening or making something. And then in part of that process, next thing you know, they're measuring out ingredients, so they're counting. They might be writing up recipes, so they're learning, you know, writing skills. Then they might be joining in a group, sharing and partnering about what they're making or doing. And so that encourages social language and social dialogue. So there's all kinds of ways to improve learning opportunities. And they exist in our communities everywhere. Some are low cost, some are free. Some, if it's more formalised learning, you generally have to pay for that unless it's free TAFE or something like that. But there are lots of learning opportunities in our community. Sometimes you could be learning from neighbours, your communities that you're in, and you could also be learning in terms of intergenerational. So a lot of the sort of cultural learning can come from family, intergenerational. In Aboriginal communities, family learning is really important. So that might be the handing down of stories or language and culture. So yes, there's many ways of learning. It isn't always just in a, you know, typical school setting.
And of course, Jenny, a lot of communities draw on the strengths of their communities to provide specific types of learnings. We've seen in community centres a lot of men's sheds pop up where men can go along and still use their craft, be very practical, but somebody has a specific skill.
Yeah, that's right. And what's good about that in those settings, whether it's men's sheds, sometimes they're called community sheds or education sheds or women's sheds, but what's good about that is they share their skills. So they're keeping their minds active, they're sharing their experiences and their skills, and there's also a social and health outcome from keeping connected with those sorts of settings. That's the same in community gardens and, as you said, community centres.
And I often think that saying, it's the spaces between the classes where the real learning happens, where that social interaction, that regularity, that connection to know that they can go to a place that they feel safe. And community centres often are older houses, they're not that classroom-style environment. But when you have that regularity of meeting a stranger who then becomes a friend or a connection, can make all the difference to improving learning, can't it?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's that building of trust, and also it builds individual self-confidence, but then you get that sort of group confidence too, where if people are meeting at a community centre or a local community facility and they've built up a history of being together and trust, sometimes they take on group learning, so that's when they might decide to go and do something, whether it might be volunteering together or it might be crafting up something that might, you know, be sold as a benefit to, you know, help a charity and those sorts of things where they might work together. So that, again, I mean, humans are social animals, so that sort of social connectivity is really important. And that's where we learn, where we're feeling safer, where we're in a trusting, you know, environment. And there are different opportunities, sometimes ones that you wouldn't think of, but they sort of show themselves in those settings.
And often it's that barrier of lack of trust that stops people doing that learning. So if community can provide a place where participants can go, it enhances their learning opportunities. Jenny, in terms of where adult community education sits in importance or value to governments and to people, what would be your comment on that?
Well, I think, you know, it depends where you're looking across Australia, but certainly in South Australia and some of the other states, there is a reasonably strong adult community education sector. But I think it needs to have more recognition in the role that it plays. A couple of decades ago, there was a Senate inquiry into adult community education. They produced a report called, it was about Cinderella, and they produced a follow-up called Beyond Cinderella. So what they were saying is that the adult community education sector was the Cinderella in terms of the sisters, that it was unrecognised and that it needed greater recognition for the role that it played and plays in the community. So that it's kind of a hidden and not acknowledged enough. 15 years ago now, there was a statement at a federal level where there was a recognition, and all the state ministers and the federal minister at the time signed on to a statement in support of adult community education, but there hasn't been anything since.
And Jenny, education is something that has moved portfolios, adult education, hasn't it? I mean, it has under departments of education. I mean, in South Australia, it's now moved under state development. Why do you think that happens? Why do you think it moves where it sits? Is it because it hasn't found its place? Is it because it's not as recognised as it should be as formal education?
Look, I don't know that I can answer that. I think that's one for each of the states and their ministers, because sometimes it's a political decision. Sometimes it's in terms of who's been chosen to be the minister. And sometimes it might be a budgetary decision where they're joining departments and there might be restructuring. But UNESCO and United Nations identify that education is a human right. And I think in terms of Australia, there's different ways and different opportunities that people can reach their potential through various learning opportunities. And adult and community education really should be sitting as alongside. Other reports have said it should be the fourth sector. So you've got universities, you've got the school system, primary and secondary school, and then you've got TAFE or vocational education. And that A should be seen as the fourth sector. So it does need recognition, but it also needs political will to bring it up to that level so it's resourced adequately, especially in socioeconomic times like we have now. There's greater demand at a local level and a place-based level for people to seek out support with education, with housing, with food. They're all combined. But we know that whatever's locally based is usually more obtainable for people, more reachable. So rather than just have one facility in a region, and obviously in rural and regional areas, a bit challenging because of location and distance. But to have a local facility like a community centre and a library and some of those community infrastructure settings is really important to keeping our communities healthy. And also, you know, there's fun in actually learning. There's fun and new opportunities and joy that people can get from developing new skills, whether it's the skills and training or whether it's something to bring out, you know, your painting or your craft or your singing or music or skills. There's something in that that helps us reach our potential and also brings out the dopamine, you know, which is the sort of happy chemical in our brains that encourages us to do more of those things.
And Jenny, if we look at an economic, purely from economic benefits, we all know that we're in one of the tightest labour markets we've ever had and there are skills shortages. But it is fair to say that there is a big stretch between people who left school, dropped out early and have never engaged, and those people who would participate, a bit like preaching to the converted. What we need to do is to get those people who aren't currently engaged to participate in a way they feel comfortable. And it won't happen without those wraparound services, will it?
No, that's right. The wraparound support services that people might need, you know, particularly if they've got children, they might need childcare, they might need some support in terms of mental health. They might come from a domestic violence or family violence background, so they might need some support there to keep learning. So there's a whole range of situations. But there's also people that are in the workforce. They could reach a higher potential if they had opportunities to, you know, build some new skills or find other career places that might bring out the best in them. Because we know that places are closing, so some people might have worked at a particular place for a long time. They have skills, but those skills are no longer needed, and so they lose self-confidence. And so one of the best places for them to go is to go to community centres or men's sheds or to start connecting and build their confidence again and maybe learn some new skills. And some people do. They go and they learn new skills, whether it's learning how to write a resume on a computer or using their skills to teach others in a community setting as a volunteer or something like that.
And Jenny, this can be a very useful service for new migrants to our country because they come with their own skills, but just socialising into our way of working, our work environments, that's too big a jump. Community centres can play that part in providing that everyday basic, how do you work within a workplace, can't they?
Yeah, that's right. And sometimes it's done through some of the soft skills that you can build by being connected with other people. So sometimes it might be sharing some of the food or cultural things that you might have, and you can make connections and build up language. You can build up, you know, a knowledge of English language through some of those social situations. You can also meet friends. There's lots of different ways. It could be through, you know, gardening, cooking, a whole range of things where people might be sharing their cultures. And as part of that, they might be sharing some language and some different ways of living.
And through adult education, it's also helping people learn organisational skills, time management, being part of a team that other people are dependent on you.
That's right. And that can be useful in your personal life as well as, you know, when you go for jobs or in your career or for going on in other learning formats. So sometimes you might start at a sort of early or basic level if you have low confidence in learning. So it might be a sort of soft entry. So that might mean going to a particular small class or maybe having one-on-one with someone. And then as you build up your confidence, you might go into higher levels of education or you might go sideways in education. Sometimes people start things and then they realise that's not what they want to do. But having the ability and the opportunity to move sideways into, could be short courses or taster courses or, you know, some of them are one-off courses that people might have just to see whether it's something that they're interested in.
And Jenny, with the current cost of living pressures, people can even use these skills to develop a side hustle, or for those who have retired and can still earn a small amount and keep within their pension, it's an opportunity to retrain in another industry or another way of working, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So people might learn how to set up their own small business, or they might be part of a social enterprise. There's all those kinds of opportunities and things that happen at the community sector. And sometimes it's the learners that have the ideas. It's not necessarily the workers that they're working with. And there's also, as I said before, the potential to share things as a volunteer or to learn as a volunteer some of those things that you might need to build your confidence and your skills up.
That's what I love about this, Jenny, is the practicality of it. If you become involved in a community centre, as you said, you indeed may have a skill or may have an interest that you can come and be a trainer. You'd never get that opportunity in a paid environment, but you can do it as a volunteer and then perhaps go on and be a paid facilitator.
Yes, and so that's true, but there are so many great stories where that's actually happened, Kerry. So, you know, those sorts of scenarios are really good to promote the changes that people can go through. To some people, their lives are totally transformed by engaging with those sorts of activities or coming into some of those centres. They've gone from lack of confidence, they've learned. I know there's one program that we were involved in South Australia, and it was teaching some people who had been out of work for a long time or never been in work some skills around barista, you know, doing barista with coffee and things like that. But apart from that, they were also taking orders, handling money. So they learned to count better. They learned how to add up. They learned customer service, you know, by providing. They learned some occ-health and, you know, health and safety, work health and safety issues. So all of those things led to improvements for them, and some of them went on to other jobs, some of them continued to volunteer, some of them went on to train other people, and some of them went on to further themselves in education in terms of hospitality. So that was like a 12-month session that was really based on a small, about 12 learners that were involved in that. And it was really good to see the outcomes at the end because they've had a lot of support, wraparound support, which made a big difference.
And Jenny, what happens in September, first week, to promote adult learning? There's a very special event.
Yes, I thought you'd never ask, Kerry. Every year, the Australian government supports Adult Learners Week from September 1st to September 8th. And it's an opportunity to celebrate all kinds of learning for adults. We'll have some things up on our website, and the theme is Take the Journey. So take the journey into learning and transform yourself in some way or another. And so what we do is encourage all of the centres and the libraries, they can be anywhere, to host an event during that week to encourage people to come in and learn something new. So it can be a range from, you know, digital skills, it can be learning new recipes, it can be learning a new craft or a new trade, it could be exchanging, it could be taster courses, as I said before. And we have some early bird prizes for those organisations that want to put in to receive some small grants there. And we also have scholarships for learners, so we encourage providers to nominate a learner that they think has done well and they would like to promote their learning. They can put them up for our scholarship, and we provide a number of scholarships, $1,000 scholarships for each of those learners. And we also have prizes for best event. We try and encourage as many events as possible with many different ideas as possible, and we ask people to put them on our website, Adult Learners Week. Go to the Adult Learners Week website, adultlearnersweek.org, and then there's Adult Learners Week Facebook page.
Excellent. So people can just Google that. Jenny, adult education is very important. I mean, 60 years been trying to push this forward, or into 65 now. If there was something you would like community centres to know, or community indeed, about adult education, what would that be?
That's a tough question, really. I'd like it to be the other way around. I'd actually like governments and other institutions to look at the role of community centres and neighbourhood houses, particularly in terms of adult learning, but also the long-term role they play in community development, in enriching communities and providing opportunity for people and communities to improve themselves and reach their potential. I just think they're an undervalued resource, and they really need to be well-resourced and supported by local and state government.
Let's hope this podcast gets that message out there. Jenny McCaffer, CEO of Adult Learning Australia, thank you for joining us today on the podcast to share the importance of adult community education.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au, and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.